Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to all of you that are joining with us right now. Okay, I see my little counter ticking, so I must be live. It's great to see everybody this morning. Welcome especially to those who are joining me bright and early at 7 a.m. And welcome to those of you who are joining me later, whatever. I don't know. Who knows when you'll find this? This is the interwebs, and it'll exist. This is only the second time I'm coming to you with a daily devotional thought. Again, I should have announced that I'm doing this on this past Sunday, but maybe Debbie can do a one-call message a little bit later today to get the word out to our folks. And by all means, please feel free to share this on your timeline, on your Facebook wall, the sermons that we've offered. Again, by all means, feel free to share those. I hope that they are an encouragement. Because this is a live video, obviously we're here streaming right now, but this will be available anytime later on today, and you'll also be able to listen to this devotional thought on sermonaudio.com/Old Providence. So, if you are joining us through Sermon Audio, we welcome you as well. So yesterday I told you that the intent of this time was not to offer a full sermon or a lecture or anything like that, but instead to simply offer a devotional thought. And the theme for this week is that of the Passion Week. I want to stay away from the term Holy Week, because it, really and truly this week is no holier than any other week, and furthermore, Easter Sunday is definitely not any holier than all the other Lord's days throughout the year. Even so, with Easter Sunday coming, and given the fact that I preached on John 12 a couple of days ago on Palm Sunday, I thought it fitting to focus our devotional thoughts on what would have been happening in Jesus' own ministry some 2,000 years ago. We know about Palm Sunday and Jesus' triumphal entry. We know about Good Friday, the day of Jesus' crucifixion. And certainly we know about Easter Sunday and the Lord's resurrection. But what was going on throughout the week? Yesterday we looked at what would have happened after Palm Sunday, at least partially, and we looked at Jesus' second cleansing of the temple on that Monday after Palm Sunday. But what about Tuesday, some 2,000 years ago? What happened on the Tuesday before Easter? Again, there's some discussion on what happened on which days of the week and so forth, and I'm not going to get into all of that. But instead, generally speaking, I just want to point to some of the things that were going on. So, what happened Tuesday before Easter? Well, several things happened, but seeing as how we're focused on Jesus yesterday cleansing the temple, let's see what happened next in the temple on Tuesday, most likely. And it's a fascinating discourse that we find. I'm in Matthew chapter 21 again. So Matthew 21, if you have your Bibles, you can turn there with me. And if you don't, and you're watching this later, then pause and go grab your Bible. But I'm in Matthew chapter 21. And I'm going to start reading in verse 23. It says, "And when he entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came up to him as he was teaching and said, 'By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority?' Jesus answered them, 'I also will ask you one question. And if you tell me the answer, then I will also tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, from where did it come? From heaven? Or from man?' And they discussed it among themselves, saying, 'If we say from heaven, he will say to us, why then did you not believe him? But if we say from man, we are afraid of the crowd, for they all hold that John was a prophet.' So they answered Jesus, 'We do not know.' And he said to them, 'Neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things.'" And we'll stop reading right there. Again, this time is not about offering a sermon or a lecture or anything like that. So, while there are many aspects that we could focus on in this discourse, I want to focus on the aspect of Jesus' authority. All right? While Jesus is doing many things here, one way that you could sum this up is that he is asserting his own authority, especially coupled with the fact that previously he had cleansed the temple yet again, throwing out the money changers and so forth. We see that Jesus is taking dominion over the temple and asserting his real authority. Consider what we just read. Jesus comes into the temple and the chief priests and the elders, oh, they're waiting for him. to use a common term, they are loaded for bear. They want to catch him. They want to deal with him. You have to wonder why. Is it because he had just cleansed the temple, driving out the money changers? Is it because the chief priests and elders are just fed up with Jesus himself? Is it because they're all simply jealous of him? After all, Jesus is the one that has the people's attention, not them. Well, whatever it is, they immediately come to Jesus and ask him, "By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority?" Read between the lines. They want to know why Jesus thinks he has the right to be so bold. In essence, they're saying, "Who do you think you are to do the kind of things that you're doing?" Authority is the issue, you see. And Jesus responds in much the same way as he previously had responded in similar circumstances throughout his ministry already. He responds to their question with another question. He says, "All right, if you answer my question, I'll answer your question." But the question that he asks, his intent is to back the elders and the high priest into a corner from which they cannot possibly escape. And he puts them in a situation where there is no right answer, and they know it. As we read, either they say that John's baptism came from heaven and make themselves look like fools and unbelievers for denying it previously, or they discount John's baptism and they say it came from man, and they make themselves an enemy of the people that are around them. And out of fear, they can't do that. It's a lose-lose situation, you see. And Jesus just leaves them, gasping for air, looking like the Keystone Cops. They don't know up from down. They can't do anything right. Ultimately, they refuse to even engage him any further. Jesus ends by telling them that he is refusing to answer their question. You know, as the kids would call it, this is a burn on Jesus' part, right? They can't do anything with Jesus. And I love this account because, again, it points to Jesus' authority, how he had dominion over all things, and even the wisest could not compare to his wisdom. The highest form of establishment could not stand because it was opposed to him, to Jesus. And while admittedly this passage can be a little confusing because Jesus just kind of leaves things hanging and then he goes on his way, I love it because he's okay with the ambiguity here. All right, I love it because this is the equivalent with Jesus dealing with the high priests and the elders. This is the equivalent of a mic drop on Jesus' part. Have you seen that in popular culture? Maybe when people say something so profound, when somebody says, gets behind a microphone and they say something so right that there's no rebuttal for it, and with nothing left to be said, they just take their microphone and drop it and they walk away, right? In effect, that's what Jesus has done here with Israel's best and brightest and most distinguished. They cannot compare to our Lord. And this leads to our devotional thought for the day. Jesus shows 1 Corinthians 3:19 to be true here, which says, "For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he catches the wise in their craftiness." Again, that's 1 Corinthians 3:19. Isn't that what we have just seen on display with the high priests and the elders? And in the midst of all the craziness that's swirling around us today in our world, especially with the pandemic, time and time again, we see that the simple message of faithfulness presented in God's Word, the simple message, the simple command to obey and to trust in the Lord and leave the future to Him, don't we see that rising above all the clamor, all the scheming, all the worrying, all the wandering that's in the world around us today? Yet again, doesn't the craftiness, the wisdom of this world, doesn't it look like foolishness compared to the simple invitation we have to trust God, to obey, and to leave the consequences to Him? I sure think it does. That's your devotional thought for today. What a blessed thing it is to know that our God is in charge. Jesus showed it through his earthly ministry. And just wait, because Easter is the ultimate expression of that. It's where really everything is turned on its head. And Jesus' authority is established forever and ever and ever. And if you're trusting in Him alone for your salvation, then we together are blissfully under that authority, given that ability to simply trust in Him. So I would encourage you to do that. And let's live lives of gratitude as a result. Now, let me pray. Our Father, we thank You for this time that You have given to us together, and I pray that You would be with us throughout the day that lies ahead. We don't know what opportunities You're going to bring our way. We don't even know the kind of things that we're going to run into, whether it be in person, whether it be on the television, on the radio, and newspapers. We do not know what the future holds, but we know You, and so we trust in You. We thank You for what Jesus did in His earthly ministry. All of the signs, the miracles, all of the wonderful things, yes, but establishing His authority, showing that the wisdom of this world is foolishness compared to You, oh Father. Again, please be with us today. Help us to take advantage of the opportunities that You give us, spending time with friends, with family, with loved ones. Also, Father, having the opportunity to interact with folks that may be worrying, that may be wondering, that may be wandering, not knowing what to do. Help us to be ready to give the reason for our hope. We pray all of these things in Christ's name. Amen. Well, thank you, those of you who have joined us. I see Alice and Amy on the side here, and I know others are as well. But we look forward to having this time with you tomorrow. And whenever you get this, thank you for tuning in. And please do feel free to share. Have a great day.